Hi, this is David Wood, and welcome back to Wood on Words, the podcast for writing and publishing. This is episode 22, Reaching New Readers Through Paid Advertising. Well, since we were last together, a couple of things have happened. I got back the final draft of Anubis Key from Alan Baxter, my co-author. And heck, I don't know, maybe I delivered it after this podcast, I don't remember, but I finished up my part of it, sent it back to him, he accepted my changes with a few comments, I made one more very quick pass over it, and now it is going off to beta readers, then it will go to the proofreader, and it is up for pre-order during the last week of June. So excited about that. Amazon actually sent out a notice to my followers for once, letting them know that the book was out, and got a great response, had a very nice sales day on that particular day. And, you know, I wish they did that every time. They're very inconsistent, but it's always nice when they do it. And we're already seeing a nice boost from book one because, you know, that's one of the reasons people say write in a series and keep producing books with some regularity because the new books in the series always lift the ones that are already out. So that's been a nice thing. Neptune's Key has not been selling anymore. We got some good sales on the newsletter days, and then it just fizzled. It's, I don't know. David DeBoard obviously is not nearly as big as David Wood. My audience is built on action adventure, so fantasy doesn't go over as well. But, you know, with the last David DeBoard book, I sold like several hundred books the first month, and I think I've sold maybe 100 of Neptune's Key. So maybe it's just that with David DeBoard, I'm not following that good indie advice of regularly producing content. Maybe pirate fantasy just isn't that big a deal, or maybe it's going to pick up. Who knows? So, you know, still keeping an eye on that, but right now I'm looking at it as something that I enjoy doing on the side, but I don't know. It's going to be tough to invest a lot of time in that in the future. It's going to have to be a side project if I do it. Also, Sean Ellis finished up another Dane Matic Kindle World story, and we just put that out. It came out yesterday. It's called Arcanum. It's a very cool story, and it's a crossover between Matic and Bones and then J.D. Horror from the J.D. Horror series and his own Nick Kismet adventure character. So that's kind of fun. I haven't done any promo yet because the downside, I've been so productive, and we've put out so much content that I'm almost concerned that we're going to overwhelm the readers. So I don't think I'm going to do a separate newsletter blast for Arcanum, but at the end of the month I'm going to do one for Anubis Key and Arcanum together. And then at that point I should have Lock ready for pre-order. So that'll be the three things that that newsletter focuses on. So that is what is going on in my publishing world. Other than that, I've been cranking out a little Dane Matic every day, keeping that going. And, you know, very happy with it. But something I've been thinking about, though, is, you know, I got a snide comment on my Facebook page from someone who's one of my Facebook followers and even subscribes to my newsletter, so apparently likes my work, but he accused me of just having other authors write the books and I slap my name on them, which just isn't true. I think I've discussed on this podcast what my method is. I know I've given interviews about it, talked about it on other podcasts, but I am involved in the writing of all of these stories. One's with Sean a little less than with the others because for various reasons I've discussed. But, you know, I'm heavily involved in the writing of this stuff, and I'm just not lazy. And realistically, I think most people don't understand the math of writing. Because of the way traditional publishing has always done things, they think it takes a year to write a good book. And that just isn't the case. As we've probably discussed before, big publishing houses believe that an author's new book competes with his or her other books, which we now have the data to know that isn't true. They lift them, in fact. And so they would slow authors down to an artificial publishing schedule of typically one book a year at the greatest frequency. And a lot of times authors would have a backlog of books, they would do other types of writing on the side, they would have a day job on the side, or they would write under pen names and, you know, be creating, or ghostwrite for other authors. It's absolutely possible, especially if you're writing novellas and short novels, to put out quality work in a short period of time. And, you know, I've been tracking my word counts lately. And, you know, I can write a couple hundred words in an 8-minute blast. Today I wrote a little over 1,500 words in an hour, and then I moved on to the podcast, and I've got a lot of other things to work on as well. And so if you're a full-time writer and can put in a good solid work day, you can get the first draft of a book done in a short period of time. What my concern, however, is this guy believes that I'm being unethical, and he's bold enough to say it on my page, and I didn't respond. I think it's kind of like arguing with reviewers. If he said it directly to me rather than just in a comment, I might engage, but probably not. But if this guy believes it, other people probably think it too. And so I'm considering maybe coming up with a super secret pen name, different genre, and not letting anybody know who it is. See if I can build that pen name up. That'll allow me to keep writing as quickly as I want to, without giving the perception that I'm just slapping my name on a bunch of other people's work and just hurrying through things. So that's something I'm considering. If I were to do that, though, it couldn't be like David DeBoard. I would have to make a commitment to be putting out regular content and do all the things for that identity that I've talked about on this show. And so that's something that's in my brain. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I am thinking about it because I am finding that I'm getting in the groove more and more. I'm being more efficient with my time. I'm working harder, creating new words. And I have a lot of authors who want to work with me under my David Wood identity, and I want that opportunity. But, you know, there's going to be a point at which it's probably too much. And so we'll just see. But, yeah, creating another identity and supplementing my writing with that is a consideration. So that is what is going on in the writing world. Going on in my writing world, but in the writing world, a couple of interesting things happen in the world of indie or hybrid author audiobook sales. One of them involves an indie author named Brian D. Anderson, who just got a 6-figure deal, audio only, for books 7 and 8 of his current series. He's a fantasy author, has done very well, and it's just fantastic that as an indie, he was able to get that kind of money just for selling 2 audiobooks. He still has his ebook rights, still has his print rights, foreign language rights, everything. And that was a great deal for him. Another bit of news sort of related to this, it involves a hybrid author, meaning he's done both indie and traditional publishing, and relating to audio rights involves Michael Sullivan. And if you don't know, he's an author who had tremendous success in fantasy publishing independently, wound up being able to get some nice traditional publishing deals. I think he's continued to do indie publishing on the side. I'm not certain about that. But he's reached a point now where his audio rights have become extremely valuable. And he shared some of the details as an FYI because, you know, those of us who are indie publishing, it's helpful to know what's going on with the market, what other authors are selling for, and things like that. Now, when he made his first deals, he was not able to retain his audio rights. It was a deal breaker for the publisher. And what happened was the publishers were able to turn around and sell those rights to an audiobook publishing company for a pretty good deal. And what was happening was he was only getting half of that money, which I'm not really sure if 50% is standard on audio or if he was able to negotiate that, given the leverage of his sales. But basically what he realized was that a traditional publishing house, they're typically not producing the audio themselves. They're just claiming these rights and turning around and selling them to someone with whom they normally do business. And so the first sale, his publisher sold it to, I think he said, Recorded Books, got $145,000 out of it, and got to keep half. And as he pointed out, that entire negotiation maybe took him 10 to 15 hours. You know, you go back and forth, you talk numbers, you cut the deal. So for maybe 2 days' work, his publisher got nearly $100,000. And then they renewed the contract for $400,000, which is great money. But again, they got $200,000 for nothing more than exchanging a couple emails and renewing a contract. So you might argue that the publisher did good work for him. Maybe he would not have been able to sell it for that much on his own or renew it for that much. Perhaps that's true. But the reality is he's out $345,000, and perhaps thanks to the work of this publishing house, it's time to cut a new deal with some new books. And now he knows what his audio is worth, and it really did not make sense to hand these rights over. So they decided, he and his wife, who handles a lot of his business for him, decided that what they're going to do is go ahead and cut their own audio deal before they put their ebook and paperback rights up for sale. So they cut their own audio deal, didn't have to share the money with anybody, got a very nice deal. And then they came back to their publisher and said, okay, here's the deal. We've already sold audio, but we've got these other rights available. The publisher wants him back, but the word down from upon high is that his publishing house will not negotiate for anything other than full rights, which include audio. And so, and apparently at least one other publisher operates that same way, so he's got two publishers he can't deal with. And basically, he shared this story to, in part, let authors who are indies or hybrids or even traditional publishers know what's going on, at least with these two companies, and also to let his readers know that he won't be publishing with Del Rey anymore, and this is why. It's not because either party is unhappy. It's a business decision from upon high. And so it's making some people wonder, you know, traditional publishers have been known to often operate in lockstep with their contract terms so that people can't play them against each other and get very good deals and really make industry-changing contracts. And as he notes, if somebody like Stephen King or J.K. Rowling probably, you know, wanted to retain audio rights, they'd probably be able to. But for the rest of us, it might not be an option. So it's something to keep an eye on. Some of the advice that's been given to independent publishers by a lot of the best-known advice givers is if you choose to go traditional with anything, sell your rights piecemeal. Hang on to the ones that are valuable and try to sell the others. And it could be now that traditional publishers are fighting back by saying, look, we're not going to do this. You can sell us all of it or you can go away. So that'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye on. But one of the things that I found odd but unsurprising, so I guess not really odd, but one of the things I found a little discouraging was that this post that he shared, a lot of people on K-Boards in particular were very critical of him. They seemed to think he was greedy, that it was wrong to complain when you're talking about that much money. Lots of other criticisms, and I just didn't agree with them. I thought that his was an sort of an FYI, state of the industry, data point type post, and also informing his readers. But that just goes to show that no matter how well you do, how open you try to be with your information, and Michael does have a history of being very helpful to indies and talking about what's going on with his publishing journey, the haters are going to come out, and the people who will intentionally perceive anything you say as negative. So that's just the way it goes. It was a little discouraging to me that some people chose to respond that way. But anyway, two interesting things in the world of indie. One person making a very nice audio sale, another doing the same, but it causing him to fall out with his publisher when he really didn't want to. So just things to keep an eye on. So let's move on to this week's topic. We've been talking about once you're published and you've tried to do all the right things, and you've got your core readership established, how do you start reaching out to new readers? Last week we talked about practices we can use that will help. This week we're going to talk about spending money to do that. And it begins with BookBub. Most of us have heard of BookBub. It is the biggest and most effective newsletter out there. It is good for whether or not you're giving away a free book or just selling something at a discount. And is, in my experience, it's the only one that's going to directly pay for itself. It's possible that with some of these free sites, you might see a boost in your other sales that will help pay for what you spent advertising with them, but typically not. And I've found that with BookBub, especially if I'm not advertising book one in a series, but I'm doing, say, book two or three or whatever, I will get enough of a boost with book one that just that increase in sales will pay for my ad, and the rest is gravy. So BookBub is wonderful if you can get hold of it. you'll sell a lot of books. And I usually go for 99 cents. I've done one free deal, but other than that, I've done 99 cents. And again, it pays for itself and it lifts other books in the series. So it's been an excellent deal. And I always get very high in the charts on Kindle, Nook, Kobo, and iBooks. All four of those, it really makes a difference. I haven't seen much of a result on sites like Google Play. But anyway, BookBub's wonderful if you can get it. Now, the challenges with BookBub, first of all, it's very expensive. It's for the action-adventure list at 99 cents. I think I'm paying $640 for a BookBub ad. If you're trying to sell it $1.99, you're going to pay a lot more. Certain genre lists are more competitive and more expensive than others. It's a little cheaper if you're doing free. But basically, it is very expensive. It will pay for itself, but you need that upfront money in order to do it. So that's a consideration. You're probably going to need several hundred dollars saved up in order to do this. And also, it's becoming more and more difficult to get selected. And some of that is due to competitiveness. A couple years ago, the traditional publishers took notice of BookBub, and they will cycle through some of their books at a discount, as will some indie presses. And lots of authors want to be on BookBub, and so they have a lot of demand. If you get rejected, BookBub will send you a form letter talking about the importance of a good cover, it being a good bargain, things like that. And go ahead and read that, see what they have to say. But honestly, a lot of times, if you look at what they're actually promoting, it seems like they've got some interns running the show who spend all day playing video games, and then at 4:45 they say, "Oh crap, it's almost time to get home. We need to accept some books and reject some others," because some of the stuff that gets through is just awful. But who really knows? I'm sure there are employees at BookBub who put a lot of thought into it. But anyway, if BookBub is one of your goals and you've got the money set aside, here are some things that will help you get selected above and beyond the obvious having a nice book and offering it a good discount. The more reviews your book has, the better. It used to be the common wisdom was you had to have 100 to get selected by BookBub. And there for a while, every book I offered them that had 100 or more reviews got accepted. But then it got more difficult. Some of those started getting rejected, but I would occasionally get accepted with a book with fewer. I think the most recent one I had only 40 reviews. Now, if you have a book bundle that you're offering, be sure to mention in your notes, because you can add comments, how many total reviews the books that are included in that series have. Book bundles tend to have a better chance of acceptance than single titles because you're offering greater value. Now, it does have to be just your own books. They don't accept multi-author book sets anymore. Another thing is that books that are wide, meaning they're available at all the various stores, have a better chance of acceptance than books that are only available on Kindle Unlimited. Now, that's not 100% of the time. Some people do get accepted on KU, but the consensus is that you're much more likely to get accepted if your books are wide. And that's obvious. They've built their newsletter list by bringing in readers who read on all the different devices. And if they load their newsletter up with books that are in Kindle Unlimited, it's going to turn off a lot of readers. And I just heard today, it's anecdotal, but an author friend of mine was rejected multiple times with a given book. He went wide with it and immediately was accepted. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't use Kindle Unlimited. You need to look at your genre and take that into consideration. If I were starting out in, say, science fiction, I probably would still go Kindle Unlimited. I think it's worthwhile for that genre. But anyway, being wide gives you a better chance, and having a collection gives you a better chance. Most people say it's a little bit easier to get accepted as a free book than as a discounted book, but I have no idea if that's true or not. I've only tried one free book. It was accepted, but it was a book that had over 200 reviews. Another thing, just a bit of advice, keep trying. Keep offering them books. If it gets turned down, you have to wait 30 days to offer them that book again, but you can offer other books. And then another thing to remember, if you only have one book, and maybe if you only have two books, I don't know that it's worth the bother. Definitely don't try for a BookBub if you have only one book, because then you get all this increased visibility and there's nothing else for the readers to purchase. So wait till you have two or three books before you even try. But keep trying. If you have the money to spend, it's worth continuing to offer. And, you know, sooner or later you'll get through, but do try for a BookBub if you can afford it. Now, another thing to consider is the BookBub sponsored ads. This operates more like a Facebook ad. You design your own little ad. It gets placed down at the bottom of the email that's sent out. And you choose either which genres you want to target or which authors or both. So you can specifically aim for certain audiences. And then you pay per click. I've only done a few of these. And what I've found is that works pretty well for free. I get a little bit of results at 99 cents. I get almost nothing from a full-priced book. So I would say if you're launching your book, one of the first things you could do is do this on a very limited basis, like if you're launching at a discount. Maybe you're launching at 99 cents, then going up to $1.99, $2.99, whatever. Advertise your discount and really target those specific authors that you want to see in your also bots and in whose also bots you would like your book to appear. So it can be a good small part of a launch strategy, and it's okay for advertising a discount, but it's not going to pay for itself in my experience. So if you're going to do this kind of sponsored ad, set your budget, know what you can afford to spend in a given day because they will eat it all up very quickly. And the other thing to remember is you have to ask for and be accepted into this. It's not automatically given to anyone with a BookBub account. So contact them, ask about it. And for me, it was really weird. I started out with a David Wood BookBub account that I had intended to be just for my books. And then I created a Griffinwood account and pitched some Griffinwood titles. They all got rejected. And then at some point, I got an email saying, hey, we have added you to this beta program for BookBub sponsored ads. But they added the Griffinwood account and not the David Wood account, even though the Griffinwood account had never had a book accepted in BookBub, and the David Wood account had a bunch. So anyway, you can actually get accepted into this without having any BookBubs. So it's something to check into to use as a small part of your overall strategy, and that's the BookBub sponsored ad. Now, in addition to BookBub, there are other newsletters out there. There are a ton out there, actually. Most of them are crap. So let's talk about a few of them. Basically, you've got a whole lot of options out there, a lot of places that want your business, that will tell you how huge their lists are. It'll be a lot cheaper than BookBub, so it looks like a good deal. But most of them are ineffective, and the others that have some effectiveness, they're mostly only effective for free and not so much for 99 cents. But you can make some use out of them. Maybe you can't get into BookBub and you want to set up your own little promo, and so you might stack a series of these newsletter sales and run your own little sale. Probably won't pay for itself, but you can get some attention, some visibility, and reach some new readers that way. I would be very careful how I spent my money if I were to do this and to understand it's going to be a loss leader. But they can be effective for like a 99-cent sale or for a freebie. Another thing people do is, let's say they get a BookBub advertisement scheduled, they will then stack these other newsletters all around it just to try to increase their sales as much as they can. There will be restrictions for some of these sites. Some of them will only do a certain genre. Some of them will only promote Kindle books. Others will require you to have a minimum number of reviews, usually just like 10, before they'll take a look at you. And you have to have a certain star average. But on the good side, they're much less expensive than BookBub, and they're easier to get accepted into. So, some newsletters that you might want to take a look at. One is called Free Booksy, and just like its title, it's a great deal if you've have a free book to advertise. The price is not too bad, and you can get a lot of downloads on a free book. So I like that one if you're doing a free. They have a sister company or newsletter, Bargain Booksy. I've tried it for a 99, and it's obviously not for free. I have gotten very little results out of them. That would be one that I would only use as a part of a greater strategy, or if I was just desperate to get my name and my book out in front of some readers and I didn't want to do a free promo. Robin Reads is similar. It's great for free. It's reasonably priced. Not so effective for discount. I would think long and hard about that. Now, if you've got no money, basically, Bknights, B-K-N-I-G-H-T-S, which operates through Fiverr, it's okay. They're easy to work with. They don't get you a whole lot of results, but they get you some, especially for free. And it's only $5, although they do have some options that you can upgrade for increments of $5, but that's a nice little one that's usually easy to schedule. They don't schedule too far out in advance, which might not match your personality, but they're okay. Book sends, like the others, you'll get some results at 99 cents, more for free. It's just kind of okay, but it's okay to stack with other newsletters. Same deal with Kindle Nation Daily and Book Gorilla. I think they're owned by the same people now, and they work together. Once upon a time, Kindle Nation Daily was the go-to newsletter, and somehow BookPub managed to supplant them. I don't know what they did to make themselves so much more effective, but again, it won't pay for itself, but it's okay to use. If you just need something you can afford and you need to run a sale and move up on the charts a little bit. And then there's one called Book Barbarian that I really like, but they're sci-fi and fantasy only. And I think you have to have 10 reviews and a 4-star average to get in with them. But considering the price and that it's genre specific, it's not bad. I also think they will only take first book in a series or a standalone. But I've used them from time to time and I like them. So take a look at Book Barbarian if you're sci-fi fantasy and you're looking to do a short-term ad and just get a few new eyeballs on your books. I know that there are some romance newsletters out there and probably some other genre-specific ones of which I'm unaware. Do your research, but if you're a romance writer, I know for a fact there are some excellent newsletters out there that my friends who write romance have talked about. I just don't want to personally recommend them because I don't know much about them. And again, lots of other newsletters out there, but most of them are crap, or they're ones for which the jury is still out. So take a look in the forums at places like KBoards, network with other authors, and find out if they've had decent experiences. But also, take their advice with a grain of salt. There will be people who will stack just a ton of newsletters together, get decent results, and then they will draw the conclusion that every single one of those newsletters had something to do with it, when they probably didn't. So be careful spending your money on newsletters other than the ones I've mentioned. There might be some out there that are pretty good, but you know, I could actually tell you a couple that I think are bad, but I don't want to do that publicly. But anyway, just be careful spending your money on any other than the ones I've mentioned until you've learned more about them. Next is the Amazon ads, the AMS ads. These are only going to be good for books that you have self-published through their KDP dashboard. So, for example, I can't run any ads on my Cohesion Press book because it's not part of my dashboard. Cohesion can't run any because they go through a distributor that handles both ebooks and paperbacks and markets them. So that one is out. But for ones that are in your dashboard, they make it very easy to set up. And there are a few different ways to do it. You can have a sponsored ad. You can also have ones where you either go by keyword, and they can either choose the keywords for you or you can choose your own. What I do is choose my own keywords. I use some of the ones they recommend. I use some that are genre-specific. But mostly I load up my list with author names and book title names of books that I want to target and hopefully, you know, share an audience with and hopefully appear in their also bots. And these ads are going to show up if you look at a product page directly below your book. You'll see customers who bought this book also bought. And then down below it, there will be another bar, which is something like books related to this title. I don't remember the exact terminology. But anyway, that's where they'll show up. Now, these aren't typically going to produce a ton of results, but what I've found is that they will pretty much pay for themselves. The latter books in a series don't seem to do as well, but what I've found is if I'm running ads for a few books in the series, my book one does really well, and I have a theory that somebody stumbles across an ad for book 7 and says, oh, this series looks good, let me go buy book number 1. And so I like it because you don't have to spend a lot of money. I typically budget like $5 a day, and you only pay for clicks, not impressions. And then within your list, you bid on keywords. And basically, I start out with their automatic amount, which is either 25 or 30 cents per keyword. And then after a few days, I start going in and checking the results. If I have a book that's getting a lot of impressions but not many clicks, I don't worry too much about it because you don't pay for impressions, although I might at some point consider omitting that keyword, especially if it's very broad and general. If I have a lot of clicks but nobody is buying it, I will reduce my bid amount on that keyword because it's possible that they're going to wait for later. It's possible this book is going to show up in their history and be recommended to them again. But if a lot of people are clicking on it and not buying it, that's a pretty good indicator that for that author or book, you're not really appealing to their audience. So I'll reduce my bid amount. But if I have other ones where they're clicking and actually making purchases, I'll increase the bid amount on those. I'll go up, say, 5 cents at a time. And, you know, don't do it too soon. You want to get, you know, a few days of data. And I don't go in and check it every day, but I periodically go in and I refine these. And consequently, my ads are at least paying for themselves and making a little bit off of them. And they'll even show you out to the right. You get a very nice report. It'll tell you whether or not the book has paid for itself. So here and there I'll get one that just absolutely is losing money and no amount of refinement seems to be doing anything, and I'll shut those down. But as long as they're close to paying for themselves, I'm fine with that because it's not a lot of money and it's a different way of reaching readers. And that is one that's very easy to do if you're publishing on Kindle and you don't have a lot of money to spend. And the other cool thing is both with this and with the BookBub sponsored ad, it can be a very good way to make sure early on, at least in theory, that your also bots are the right sorts of also bots. And I believe we may have discussed this before. I keep forgetting which podcasts I listen to and what interviews I've done where I've talked about certain things. But in a nutshell, I'll give you an example. Griffin Wood published a book called Sherlock Holmes, The Dreaming Man by William Meikle. So then I call him Willie. That's what his people who know him call him. Most of Willie's books are horror, dark urban fantasy. Even his Sherlock Holmes book has a bit of a dark twist. And I knew that if we hammered his normal audience right away, the book was probably only going to reach those people, and it might get to where it's not even showing up with the Sherlock Holmes crowd. So I did an Amazon ad where I absolutely put in every single Sherlock Holmes author title and author name I could find, all the indies, you name it, all the terms that are commonly associated with Sherlock, and I didn't put anything relating to any of Willie's other books. And sure enough, within the first week or so, we had 20 pages of also bots, and out of all of those books in the also bots, only two were not Sherlock Holmes titles. So that's an instance where we successfully hit our target market, and then it was okay to kind of push it out beyond to other readers. But I definitely wanted that book showing up in the also bots, first in the related titles, the sponsored books, and then later in the also bots of all these other indie Sherlock Holmes books, because those are the readers who like, obviously, independently published Sherlock Holmes books. And so that is something you can do. If you want to, from the very start, maybe before you send out your newsletter, especially if this is a different genre for you, figure out which books you'd like to be in the also bots and use the sponsored BookBub ad and the Amazon ads to really hammer home, really target those and get your also bots the way you want. The other paid advertising that a lot of people talk about is Facebook ads. And Mark Dawson is really the expert. Look him up. He's got a great marketing podcast. He gives away lots of free advice. He also sells advice, but I think most of what he gives away for free is pretty effective. He's also done a lot of podcast interviews. So look up Mark Dawson Facebook ads and get more information. But what I can say is that basically you create a nice graphic, you go through, you target specific authors, specific vendors, you set a daily budget, and you pay by the click. And the results are really diminishing, and I think most people who follow indie publishing news know that. Part of it is because of Mark. He had so much amazing success with Facebook ads, and then success selling his method that loads and loads of people are doing it. And from what I hear, you really have to spend a lot of money on a high-priced book in order to really make your money back. At this point, I'm using it just as a very small part of my overall strategy. I'm not spending a lot of money, and I'm not doing very much with it. It's just a small way of hitting a different audience. So Facebook ads is something you can look at. But again, look to Mark and find out what he's doing because he's your best expert on Facebook ads. So overall, when we're talking about reaching new readers for pay, those are the main ways that I would do it. BookBub, if you can get it, save up your money and then keep trying for it. The BookBub sponsored ad, other newsletters in specific instances, Amazon ads definitely, and Facebook ads. And if you're operating on a budget, maybe you're that person who says, I really am on a shoestring and I don't have a lot of money, well, hopefully Some of these you're not doing until you've got two or three books out and maybe you are making a little money. But, you know, set aside your pocket change, set aside your dollar bills, skip your Starbucks periodically. B-Nights is cheap, $5. Amazon ads, you can control the amount you're willing to spend. It's not very expensive. And even Facebook ads can be inexpensive if you keep them under control. But definitely try the B-Nights and the Amazon ads. They're worthwhile. So those are the high points of some of your paid options. If you want to come to woodonwords.com and leave some comments, maybe talk about newsletters you've used that did or did not work, or maybe other paid forms of advertising I didn't discuss that you think are worthwhile, happy to hear from you. So, hope everybody has a great week, and we will see you next time.